Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Today is the eve of Aradhana Mahotsavam. Today is April 23rd, 2020. And this day always brings moments from history. History which Swami redefined as his story. Moments from history that definitely redefined your life. Moments from his story that reconfigured your relationship with him. Moments from the Satya Sai saga which awakened you to the cosmic game plan of the Divine Master, of his inscrutability, of his magnanimity, of his mystifying love. It's very difficult for our little minds to ever understand. Just like a fish can never understand the ocean, nor can one little star fathom the depth, the breadth, and the vastness of the sky. And every time this day comes, it does something to your heart which only the heart knows. The word finds it very difficult to express, but it is a knowing, it is a learning, it is an awakening. And the way Swami connects to every soul, the way Swami fulfills the sacred desires of every person on the path is as vast, as varied as the sands on the seashore, as the leaves on the banyan tree. Just this morning I was talking to a Sevadal from Madhya Pradesh. His name is Pritesh Saxena. As many know, once the government of India announced lockdown, all the Sevadals who had come to serve continued to serve in the ashram. Sevadals who had come on March 13th or 15th thinking they will serve for a week or 10 days after the government announced the national lockdown on March 24th, 2020 because of COVID-19. The Sevadals had the opportunity to continue to serve. There was no way they can go, and there was no way new Sevadals can come. And many would think, even I kept worrying about the Sevadals, these people who had come for 7 days, 10 days to serve, leaving their families and jobs and homes. Now have no option but to continue to serve here, and it would be so difficult for them to suddenly deal with this, having come with no such prior preparedness. And there are sevadals from all states of India, especially in the month of March, April. You don't have one dedicated state. These are months when sevadals come from all over India. And that is how you have sevadals from West Bengal to Himachal Pradesh, to Gujarat, to Maharashtra, to Tamil Nadu, to Sikkim and Darjeeling. And as I was talking to Pritesh, I asked him, it would have been so difficult for you to continue the service, isn't it? What you thought was 10 days hours now turned out to be 30 days, 4-5 weeks now. And Pritesh said, what are you saying? You know something? I came last to have Bhagwan's darshan in February 2011. That was the last time I saw Swami. And after I returned, that is when I heard about Bhagwan not keeping well physically and ultimately leaving his body. I wanted to come, but I could not come back again in April. And since then, I always wanted to come in April. I always wanted to be here for Aradhana Day, but I never had the opportunity. So many years passed. After 9 years, see how today Swami has given me the chance to be here for Aradhana Day. 2020 Aradhana Day, nobody is allowed to come. No person is allowed to come to Prashantinilayam for Aradhana Day. But Swami has given me this privilege to be here. People call me and say, how are you? Everywhere there is so much news about COVID pandemic. I don't see any TV. I don't listen to the news. I don't go on the internet to catch up with all this. I know whatever my friends and family tell me over my phone calls. But to everyone I say only this. I am in the safest place on the planet. And see how Swami kept all of us here. I am here with my wife and children. And when the whole world is so much gripped with fear, Swami has kept us in the most secure place. And now He has given me the chance to be here for Aradhana Day. And He has given me the chance to continue to serve. What more can I talk about His benevolence? And this is not just the story of Pritesh. I had the opportunity to speak to 8 to 9 sevadals, and each one's story was so moving. The way Swami connects, the way Swami chooses the recipients of His grace depending on their intensity, their prapti, is so humbling, so revealing. And so life-changing, in fact, for all of us. Continuing the stream of Vahinis, we are now in Chapter 7 of Sandhya Nivarini. And in this chapter, as I mentioned before, Bhagwan so beautifully delineates simple, practical, powerful tenets for our daily life and spiritual living. And that is what we have been doing in the last few episodes of Vahini Satsang. We have been trying to understand, go deeper in these principles that Swami has given us, which should govern our life. So let us listen to what Bhagwan has written in this chapter. Like in every chapter, we have divided the contents of the chapter into various segments, and we in the last few episodes were in chapter 7.3, the third segment of chapter 7. So we will listen to what Bhagwan has written and then continue with discussing point number 29 of this segment, point number 29 of chapter 7.
Try to keep under check the five sins that the body commits: killing, adultery, theft, drinking intoxicants, and meat eating. The sacred life can reach the highest if these can be completely avoided. 16. One must be always vigilant, without a moment's carelessness, against the eight sins that the mind perpetrates: kamam or lust, krodham or anger, lobham or greed, moham or attachment, mada or ego, envy, hatred and pride. Man's primary duty is to keep all these things at a safe distance. 17. When in pursuit of wrong actions, man's mind acts hurriedly. During these times, without allowing the mind to go its way, remember the name of the Lord and attempt to do some good deed or the other. Those who do thus will certainly become fit for the grace of the Lord. 18. First, give up the evil tendency to feel envious at the prosperity of others and the desire to harm them. Be happy that others are happy. Sympathize with those who are in adversity and wish for their well-being. This is the sign of God's love present in you. 19. Patience is all the strength that man needs. 20. Those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds. 21. It is easy to conquer anger through love, attachment through reasoning, falsehood through truth, bad through good, and greed through charity. 22. Do not respond to the words of the wicked. It is good to keep them at a distance. In fact, do not have any relationship with such people. 23. Seek the company of good men, even at the cost of your honor and life. However, pray to God to bless you with the discrimination needed to distinguish between the good and the bad. You must also endeavor to do this with the intelligence given to you. 24. No doubt, those who conquer kingdoms and earn fame in the world are hailed as heroes. But truly, those who have conquered the senses must be acclaimed as the conquerors of the universe. 25. The results of one's action, whether good or bad, continue to always pursue man. 26. Greed yields only sorrow. Contentment is best. There is no happiness greater than contentment. 27. The evil manipulations of the mind has to be uprooted, else it will ruin life itself. 28. Bear with fortitude both loss and grief, and search for that which will benefit you and grant you joy. 29. When you are invaded by anger, practice silence or remember the name of the Lord. Do not remind yourself of things which will inflame the anger more. That will do incalculable harm. 30. From this moment, avoid all bad habits. Do not delay or postpone. They do not contribute the slightest joy or happiness.
So that is what Bhagwan has given us in this third segment of chapter 7. And in the last few episodes, we were contemplating on all these points, 26, 27, 28, in the previous session. We focused on point number 28, bear with fortitude both loss and grief and search for that which will benefit you and grant you joy. Moving on in point number 29, Bhagwan says, when you are invaded by anger, practice silence or remember the name of the Lord. Do not remind yourself of things which will inflame the anger more. That will do incalculable harm. So Swami is telling, when you are invaded by anger, practice silence or remember the name of the Lord. And this is so important. I think if we look at so many situations of our life, situations when we got into problems, situations when if only we had acted with a little more caution, we wouldn't have reached the stage where we were subjected to. If only we had waited for a little while before speaking that word. If only we had toned down our temper before uttering that particular sentence, and the way sometimes sentences pierce people's hearts, it can do irreparable, as Swami says, incalculable harm. And I think most of us have gone through that experience where we felt, if only that one moment I was careful, I could have saved this loss or this relationship or this misfortune. In one discourse, Swami says, Vemana, the well-known philosopher, poet of Telugu literature, he has written a verse which says that one who has eaten a dog is considered a great yogi. And one who has eaten a pig is considered a greater yogi. And one who has eaten an elephant is considered as the wisest among the yogis. And Swami says, one will wonder, what is he trying to say? One must go deep into the meaning, Swami says, of the statements by Vemana. He was not an ordinary person. Swami said, when he says one has eaten a dog, here dog refers to anger. When he says one has eaten a pig, pig refers to ego. And when he says one who has eaten an elephant, elephant connotes attachments, our huge, big, deep attachments. So one who is able to eat a dog, one who is able to control and overcome one's ego, one's anger, Swami says, is a great yogi. And if you can conquer your ego, then you are a greater yogi. And if you have conquered your attachments, then you are the greatest among the yogis. And Bhagwan often gave the example of sage Vishwamitra when he was explaining this. Swami says, in our daily lives we know that when we become angry, our nerves become weak and feeble and we lose grip over ourselves. Even a moment of anger takes away our strength that we had accumulated by eating good food for over 3 months. 3 months of nutrition goes into oblivion when we have a serious moment of anger. Anger not only debilitates us and takes away the merit of our good deeds, but also enfeebles our condition. So telling the story of Vishwamitra, Swami talks about how sage Vasishtha attained the title of Brahmarishi, a very respected title to attain, a rishi who is almost like Brahma. And Vishwamitra, the great sage, also wanted to attain the title of Brahmarishi. But even after years of penance, he could not attain the same. And at one point, Vishwamitra became furious because even when the world honored him with the appellation of Brahmarishi, Vasishtha did not agree to call him so. So there was a point when even if the whole world acknowledged the greatness of Vishwamitra and they accepted him as a Brahmarishi because of his years of penance, Vasishtha somehow did not refer to him in that manner. And he developed a lot of anger in him for Vasishtha. And he thought, if only he can eliminate Vasishtha from the world, then everyone in the world would honor him with the title of Brahmarishi. So he felt, the best thing for me to do is to somehow ensure that Vasishtha no more exists in this world. So once on a moonlit night, when Vasishtha was in his ashram and he was describing to his disciples the qualities of the Lord and his creation, suddenly he started talking about sage Vishwamitra. And Vasishtha was talking about Vishwamitra in such glowing terms. He was giving his disciples the highlights of the personality of Vishwamitra, of his noble traits, of his fierce penance, and how he was such a man of great accomplishments. And as Vasishtha was praising Vishwamitra in this manner, Vishwamitra, who was there in Vasishtha's ashram then, but hiding behind a bush, was so ashamed of himself because he was hiding behind a bush with a sword in his hand to stab Vasishtha and end Vasishtha. And here was Vasishtha singing the praises of Vishwamitra. And immediately that brought such a change of heart, sudden transformation in Vishwamitra. He began to repent for his mistake, repent for his bad thought. How could he think of killing Vasishtha, a man who is actually praising him? He was talking about his fine qualities like no one has ever before done. How could I entertain a thought of this nature? He felt so sorry for his behavior that he just came out of the bush and he fell at the feet of Vasishtha and he sought his forgiveness. And sage Vasishtha, with a beautiful smile, lifted Vishwamitra and said, "O Brahmarishi, you have come. When did you come?" And Vishwamitra was so happy. Here he was crying for what mindset he had come to the ashram with. And now Vasishtha is addressing him as Brahmarishi for the first time. Vishwamitra was just shedding tears. And now Vasishtha said, "Today, Vishwamitra, you really deserve the appellation of Brahmarishi. You know why? Because today you have eliminated all your anger and ego. And you are in a mood of utter repentance. If you can give up anger, you can even reach the stage of Brahmarishi." That is what was preventing Vishwamitra from becoming a Vasishtha. And Swami is saying, your greatest enemy is anger. Your greatest protection is calmness. Today, as we deal with the COVID-19 fears, Swami is saying, our protection is our calmness. One's calmness is one's greatest protection. Whatever happens, can we be calm? Let us not panic. Let us be in a state of fearlessness, having faith in Bhagwan. Because when we are in that kind of a state, even biologically, our immunity will be very high. Swami says 99% of the diseases have come because of the mind. If the mind is strong, diseases cannot come near you. The body is divine. The body is like God. The body has all the strength within it to protect itself in amazing ways. Modern medicine came just 50, 60 years ago, 100 years ago. Before that, for generations, people lived very healthy lives and long lives, in fact. If you read about the scriptures and the Vedic times, that's because they harnessed the power of inner calmness. And if we get angry, if we panic, if we lose control ourselves, Swami is telling, your greatest enemy is your anger. Your greatest joy is your heaven. Your hell is your sorrow. And then Swami goes on to say that whoever is possessed by anger will be hated by people. The reason is very simple. If you are a very angry person, you will commit a number of mistakes. You will end up doing so many things which will hurt people. And as a consequence, as a reaction for your actions, you definitely will get into a lot of problems. you will commit a number of bad deeds because somehow you are not able to control that strong emotion of hatred when it came in you, that strong emotion of frustration when it came in you, that strong emotion of unhappiness when it came in you. But if you can conquer that, if you can control that, you can do fantastic things. I'm reminded of Nelson Mandela. This is a story told by Bill Clinton on what he learned from Nelson Mandela in one meeting of the two men. Mr. Clinton asked Mr. Mandela, "I wonder what you must have felt towards your jailers when you were walking out of that prison after those 27 years. Weren't you angry at them?" Nelson Mandela, as we know, was in the jail for 27 years. And when he came out, how did he feel when Mr. Clinton asked him? Mr. Mandela said, "Yes, I was angry and I was a little afraid. After all, I have not been free in so long. But when I felt that anger welling up inside me, I realized that if I continue to hate them after I got outside that gate, then they would still have me." I wanted to be free, so I let it go. So Mandela is telling, see, if I continue to have that hatred and that anger, even after I step out of the jail, then I will still be jailed because I have jailed myself with those negative qualities. I wanted to be free, and so I let it go. We want to be free. To be free, we have to be free from such a quality like anger. Once the only survivor of a shipwreck was washed up on a small uninhabited island, and he prayed feverishly for God to rescue him, and every day he scanned the horizon for help. But none seemed forthcoming. Exhausted, he eventually managed to build a little hut out of the driftwood there to protect him from the elements. He wanted to store a few of his possessions. He needed a shelter, so he built this little hut. But then, one day, when he returned to his hut after searching for food, to his horror, he saw that his little hut was in flames and the smoke was going up into the sky. And he said in anger to God, "How could you do this to me? I am in an unknown place, uninhabited island. I am struggling to find food to eat. I somehow made a shelter for myself with so much difficulty, and even that went up in smoke, and such huge smoke. Where are you, God? What is this? What justice is this? And what are you doing with my life?" And shouting at God, he cried and he slept that night. Early next morning, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island. And this ship had come to rescue him. And seeing a ship coming towards him to rescue him, actually, this man was so shocked. He asked, "How did you know that I was here?" He asked those people who had come to rescue him. "No one has till now spotted me. How did you know I'm here and I need help?" And those rescuers said, "Oh, we saw your smoke signal. You sent up such a huge smoke. What do you mean you didn't do anything to let us know?" So imagine, whatever happens in our lives, we sometimes don't even give it a thought to see what is good in it. We, without thinking, go berserk on God, on destiny, and look at how this person was cursing everything about him and scolding God and, you know, unfortunately incurring sin, which we also many times do by not learning to not react immediately to situations in life, but respond responsibly. And that is what often happens. There is, even if there is something burning in our life, it is only sending out a smoke signal. Help is coming. We have to be patient. Even if there is so much of trauma around us, something beautiful is waiting to unfold. We have to have that patience. We have to believe in the goodness that is about to manifold. So many people are going through lockdown now. The whole country, not only India, but in so many countries. Many times people think this lockdown is putting us down. The lockdown has stopped my life and so on. This lockdown has really blocked all my plans. But if you reflect, this lockdown is not to put us down or to just protect us from the virus. Actually, this lockdown is to spruce us up. Even as the earth is repairing and revving herself up, it is meant to spruce us up. Because soon there will be a new world to behold. In front of us, many novel opportunities will unfold. And if we have done our homework well in these times of isolation, if without fear we have learned to make most of these times of being at home, then tomorrow we will maneuver through the barriers, seize the openings and march on with jubilation. What is isolation today, tomorrow will become jubilation if we do our homework well without procrastination now. But if we use this period of quarantine to only laze around and become elephantine, then we would have lost the opportunity to reflect, correct and refine. We would have missed the chance gifted by the divine. So this is not the time to get angry. This is not the time to lose your cool. This is the time to make most of life that is being laid out in front of us in the form of opportunities, time, and new ways of thinking. So Swami is saying, anger will lead to many great sins. And that is the reason why we have to be so careful. People lose everything and are exposed to great suffering because of their anger, Swami says. When the funeral pyre consumes the dead, Swami says, that fire consumes the person who is dead. But the person who has an agitated mind, who is all the time getting angry, he is already dead because this anger has reduced to ashes his living body. It's a living death if you're obsessed with ego and anger and pride, Swami says. So what to do? I'm reminded of two words which I just mentioned, respond and react. Many times what happens is whenever something happens to us, just like this person in the island did, we immediately react to situations. For example, if you get up in the morning and you get ready to go to office, and just when you are having your breakfast and you just have half an hour to reach your office, and you're having breakfast with your child, and suddenly as the child is talking to you, she drops her cup of porridge and it falls on your pant, and you're so mad at her because you have to reach office quickly, there is a meeting, and she should have been careful. How could she drop that porridge onto your pant? And now you shout at her, and then, you know, when you're shouting at her, then your wife comes, and your wife says, why are you shouting? It's okay, it's a girl, she did it. And then you lose your cool, and you shout at your wife also, this is how you've trained her, this is how what happens, I have such an important meeting too. So you shout at her, and then you go change, and in the whole process, because you're so angry, you're not able to find the right pant, you know, because you're so agitated, and the pant you're searching is not there, you shout at your wife again, where is this pant, where do you keep? And she goes out searching, she says, no, it's there, right in front of your eyes, why can't you see it? And she says, are you blind? And then again, she says, what do you mean I'm blind? And she says, why can't you keep it here? So it will go on like that, and then somehow it changes, and he's rushing out of the house because he's so angry, and in the whole process he forgets to take something, and he dashes against the door, and he opens the car, he gets in and he bangs the car, and that day, you know, he just loses cool, he's driving fast, and we don't know what is going to happen. He might really actually get into an accident because he's just not able to think. And for all you know, when he went to the office, he just found out that the meeting is actually postponed by half an hour because the person, the important person who was supposed to come, got held up with traffic. So it's okay. If only when the girl dropped the porridge, he would have just smiled and he said, be careful little one, don't worry. And just gone and changed the pant. It would have taken just 2 minutes, maximum 3 minutes, 5 minutes. What would have been resolved so amicably in 3-4 minutes became a 15 minutes of absolute hell, disrupted the morning, not only your morning, but the morning of the child. The child goes to the classes crying, how could my father say this to me? Wife is agitated. Why can't this man keep quiet? Why does he shout so much? Why can't he just control his tongue? He doesn't know what he's speaking. So it's ruined the day for so many people. Because just that one moment, you could not control. So we should intelligently see that in life, we don't react to situations, but respond to situations. And when we respond, we take time, we calm ourselves. Even if everything around us is falling apart, if we respond, we can build it up, we can save it. But if we immediately react in panic, in dejection, in frustration, then you are ruining whatever little could have been also saved. Everything will go. You not only lose what you have to lose, but you have gained so much of negative karma that now you have to deal with this also. Apart from the loss of the situation, you have to deal with the loss of your negative emotion. And that is what Swami is warning us against. Swami is telling, when you are invaded by anger, practice silence. If suppose something untoward happens, just try to be calm, or just do namasmarana. Just keep chanting. Okay, the daughter has dropped the porridge on the pant. Just say Sairam. Just be calm. Just say Sairam. Can we do that? Swami says, remember the name of the Lord, because when we remember the name of the Lord, the power of the Divine will help us. Swami says, do not remind yourself of things which will inflame the anger more. At that point in time, you don't like the daughter, and so that's not the time to tell the daughter, you have been so nasty, I've been telling you to be careful, you're not only very careful, so reckless with your way you eat, you know, this is how you got up so late and you look at what you're doing, and I've been telling you to be very careful, I know you have not done your homework also, and every time I tell you things, you don't listen to me at all. So all this will go. So don't remind yourself of things which will inflame the anger more. That will do incalculable harm, Swami saying. So it is so important that whenever we meet with situations which could lead to these circumstances which will only bring us further ruin, we have to see how to pause, practice silence, reflect, chant the name, and convert that into a beautiful experience. Yes, it can be converted into a beautiful experience. Because if you just smile and tell the daughter, it's okay, no problem. The daughter will feel, how nice is my father. I did this to him. And I know that he had a very important meeting, but he didn't scold me at all. He was so nice. He just let it go. And the wife will feel, wow. I don't know if I would have maintained my cool if the daughter would have dropped that porridge on my new dress. But look at him, he's so calm. He just took it in his stride as if nothing has happened. So you get admiration, you get respect. You make beautiful things unfold. And when you do react in this manner, the reaction of this also comes back to you in beautiful ways. Because everything in this world boomerangs. And that is how good things happen. That is how many unexpected pleasant surprises come to your life. Because in these tough situations, you kept your cool. So Swami says, just direct your mind to God. That will become very easy. That will help you to control your senses. In fact, there's a very beautiful lesson once told by late Dr. Wayne Dyer. He was speaking at a conference, and he took an orange with him to the stage as a prop for his lecture. And he opened his presentation with a bright young fellow about 12 who was sitting in the front row, and he asked him, see, if I were to squeeze this orange as hard as I could, what would come out? And so that teenager said, well, what will come out? Juice. So, Winder asks him, yeah, juice will come out of this, but do you think apple juice will come out of it? I said, are you mad? How can apple juice come? Okay. Do you think grape juice will come out of it? Why will grape juice come out of orange? For God's sake. Of course. It will only be orange juice. And now that little fellow was getting a little exasperated. But he's asking me such silly questions. And he just said, hello sir, what is inside only will come out. It's an orange. So out of an orange, only orange juice will come out. Nothing else will come out. And now Wayne Dyer said, when the orange is put to pressure, what comes out is what is inside. Same thing happens in all our lives too. When we are put through pressure, what comes out is what is inside of us. If when we are put through a difficult time, when we are going through a grind, if anger comes out, if frustration comes out, if hatred comes out, then that is what is inside us. No matter who is squeezing, it could be your parents, it could be your children, it could be a boss, it could be the government, it could be the society around you, it could be your friend. But if someone says something about you that you don't like and what comes out of you is hatred, then that is what is inside you. Because only an orange juice will come out of an orange. So when we are put to pressure situations, let's decide and ensure that what comes outside of us is what is truly us. And we are truly, as Swami says, Prema Swarupalara. You are embodiments of love. If only love can come out of us when put through situations which seem difficult, when carbon is put through great pressure, it becomes a diamond. Can we shine like diamonds when we are put through pressure? Because we indeed, as Swami says, are as bright and beautiful sparks of the divine as the diamond. So let's see that when we are confronted with situations, let's use the situations to let the world know who we really are. Let us live up to being Prema Swarupalara, as Swami used to call us. Swami says, if you can do this, then you will become a yogi. As Bhagwan began by mentioning Vemana, the great poet, in a beautiful discourse that Swami was giving on subduing this evil trait, which Swami says enemy number one, ego and anger are enemy number one. So in this point number 29, Swami is so beautifully saying that whenever you have anger, practice silence and remember the name of the Lord. Don't think of the things that will add to the anger. I think tomorrow, as we offer ourselves to Bhagwan on the Aradhana day, let this become our sadhana, that no matter what happens in the office, at home, with the children, with the boss, we will ensure, no matter who squeezes us, what will come out is only love. Because we indeed are sparks of love. Let this be our offering to our beloved Bhagwan, to the colossus of So dear listeners, we'll continue this in the coming episodes of Vahini Satsang. There is so much more in chapter 7 of Sandhya Nivarini, and every sentence is something worth contemplating upon, and that is what we have been doing in the last so many sessions in this series Vahini Satsang. As always, if you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with us through this lovely journey of swimming in the nectar of His message. Sai Ram.